Okay, in this lesson, we're going to talk about what to do when you send out an email and days go by and you still haven't received the response from the prospect. First, let's talk about what you can expect in terms of response rates. Traditionally, in direct mail, which many consider to be a benchmark direct response vehicle, a 1% response rate has always been considered good, everything else being equal. That means that you have to send about 100 letters or packages just to get one response. And believe it or not, in many direct response-driven businesses, that's still considered a great response rate, and it will actually yield a profit. However, I found that when you use this email prospecting approach I've laid out in this program, and when you take the time to assemble a great targeted list, and you craft emails that have all the components we've talked about, you can expect a much higher response. And keep in mind that these are wide ranges that depend on many variables, but a 5 to 10% response rate is what you should shoot for. 10% is certainly on the high side, and over time you may be able to get there as you refine your message and do more of what's working for you and less of what hasn't been working as well. But initially, I would probably shoot for a 3 to 5% response rate over time. That's not, you know, your first 10 emails. Over time, 3 to 5% is a good initial goal to set. I personally shoot for a 5% response rate, which means that I try to get a response for every 20 emails I send out or so when I use a strategy. That said, that means that most of the emails you send out will not get a response. So you need to get used to that and be willing to accept this reality. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you should give up on every prospect that does not respond after a few days. In fact, I would recommend sending a second email to prospects who haven't responded 2 weeks after sending them your original email. But there's a way to do this right, and there's a way to mess this up, so you have to be careful. First, do not remind the prospect that he hasn't responded to your email yet. For example, don't say something like, "Hey, I sent you an email a couple weeks ago, but I haven't heard back from you." That's a sure way to have your email deleted and ensure that the prospect never responds to anything else you send. Why? Because that type of message comes across as if you're reprimanding the prospect, as if they owe you a response, and you're blasting them for not getting back to you. Instead, here's what I would do. Find the original email you sent the prospect in your sent folder. Then click the forward button in your email client and forward the email to the prospect. So all you're doing is forwarding that initial email you had sent them to that same person you sent it to. That way it comes across as a forward, it comes through as a forward and not a resend. So then with the original copy of your email below, write new copy over it that says something like this. "Hi Susan, I emailed you a couple of weeks ago about the repurposing of Pelham Medical's collateral. But I forgot to mention something important. I have a portfolio of collateral rebranding examples, mostly before and after examples, on this page of my website. You'll find lots of great ideas there. If you'd like to discuss how I may be able to help you with this effort during the Pelham transition, just let me know. We can schedule a quick chat later this week or at a convenient time. Or if you'd like to call me directly, I'm at 770-555-2299. So let's look at this email and why this works. So by forwarding the original email, you're essentially reminding the prospect about your value and offer without making it feel like you're reprimanding them for not responding. By offering something else that's both relevant and has value, in other words, samples that show how you've helped others in this capacity, as you saw in this email, you're trying to buy yourself another chance for a response. So when it comes to email follow-up or even phone follow-up, there's an implicit requirement to justify your follow-up. In other words, you kind of have to explain why you're touching base again, and you need to offer a good reason for doing so. When you look at this follow-up email, you can see that I've included such a justification. I pointed to some of my samples. Now, it doesn't have to be samples. You could include a link to another case study or an article, a report, or any other relevant and valuable item, just as we discussed in a previous lesson. With this approach, you're also reminding the prospect of why you emailed them originally. And you're keeping it short because you're letting the original email, which is now below this new copy, you're letting that original email message do a lot of the work when it comes to refreshing the prospect's mind. Now, if the prospect still doesn't respond to the second attempt, Do not keep emailing them repeatedly. You're done emailing them for now, at least until they reply, if they reply, of course. Prospects don't mind you being a little persistent, but they do mind you being a pest. So after the second attempt, if you don't get a reply, you can either stop or you could try a different approach. And one such approach I've used in the past with good success is to turn your original email into a quick printed letter and then send that off through regular postal mail. And I would do this about a week or so after sending out the second follow-up email, the one you forwarded to them. It's as simple as taking the original copy of your first email, pasting the same text into a letter, but of course you'll have to change the wording a little bit regarding the link to the article, because you're not going to include a link. You're actually going to print out that article or whatever piece you linked to in that original email, and you're going to include it with this letter. And in the letter, you're going to say, hey, look at this article or this report or this case study that I've enclosed. So you print everything, you stuff it into a regular size envelope, you print their address and your return address directly on the envelope. Don't use mailing labels, whatever you do. Even better, handwrite their address and your return address on the envelope directly if you have neat handwriting. I certainly don't, so I prefer to type it. You'll find that in some cases, the combination of two emails and a letter will cause the prospect to email you or call you back. Some of them will appreciate your professional persistence, and they'll appreciate the fact that you took an approach other vendors rarely take, if ever. Most other vendors out there, service providers, either send out irrelevant or mass emailed messages, or if they do send something personalized, which is pretty rare, they'll either persist using the same method over and over again, or they'll give up after the first email. There's one exception to this, or one possible exception. When you come to someone referred because there's a mutual connection, you might want to do this. Now, it's up to you how comfortable you feel with this, the nature of the relationship with the person who referred you. But you might want to try just one more attempt via email or phone. Why? Well, you've been recommended. You've been referred. So that buys you a little bit more room and leeway here. However, that's it. I wouldn't do anything beyond that. You have to be careful not to tarnish the name of the person who referred you. So think about this before you do it and make a decision based on the specific circumstances. But it's certainly something to consider if there's a strong enough mutual connection here. By taking this approach, what you've done is you set yourself apart. And that's a key point I learned in sales years ago. The way you market and sell in and of itself can be a differentiator for you. It can be the main reason why the prospect gives you a chance to have that initial discussion with them. And this whole warm email prospecting strategy we've gone over in this program is exactly that. It's a way to set yourself apart through the way you reach out to prospects. One final point. I found that these types of efforts work best when you set weekly objectives for yourself. So as you get to the point where you're going to start sending out emails, think about what kind of effort you can put forth. What effort level you can commit to. One place to start would be to commit to sending out at least 3 personalized emails per day. If you follow this program as I described it, that means you'll spend about 30 to 60 minutes a day doing that. That includes finding the name, researching the organization a little bit, finding the trigger event or other meaningful connection, and so forth. 3 emails a day gives you 15 emails a week, and over time, that's going to give you one reply about every week or every other week. Again, depending on the quality of your list, the quality of the connection you make with a prospect, timing, and other key variables. But at this rate, 2 to 4 responses a month is a good target to shoot for and improve on. Depending on your prospect to client conversion rate, that level of effort could yield you 1 new client per month or 1 new client every other month, and that's pretty darn good. Again, you'll have to play with this and make some adjustments. You'll need to track your progress and do more of what's working and less of what's not working for you. But the key is to be disciplined and to get into the weekly habit of email prospecting. Treat it as a project, as something you have to get done, and it will get done. So that's it for the main lessons. I truly hope you enjoy this program. I urge you to start putting this information into practice as soon as possible. Don't wait. Get started on the back end work, the research, list building, the news monitoring. I'm telling you, very, very few freelancers or service providers of any kind ever approach email prospecting this way. So if you follow the system, your approach itself is going to stand out and position you as a true professional. And that will pave the way for a much more receptive prospect who could very well turn into your next client. Finally, do me a favor. Tell me how you do with these strategies. Share your successes with us. I'd love to hear more about them. You can email those stories to me directly at ed@internationalfreelancersacademy.com. This has been Ed Gandia. Happy email prospecting.